Well, good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord on this beautiful morning. I trust you've been having a nice weekend. The weather's been really nice. I'm hoping that you're getting out into your gardens and enjoying the outside and the backyard. And if you don't have a backyard, the patio. If you don't have a patio, then the park. But an opportunity to enjoy this nice weather and the beautiful sunshine that we're having over these last number of days. The last slide I was viewing was the shh about the cell phones. And I was thinking about, well, I don't want us to be silent, right? I know the point was for the cell phones. And I think this morning we need to celebrate, we need to rejoice, we need to lift our voices, we need to praise the Lord. And sometimes you're sitting alone and that might mean being extra loud in regards to worship and song and praise today. We have a lot to thank God for. Just look around the world we live in today and look how comfortable we here in St. Catharines, Canada have the freedom to worship, the freedom to go outside and not be concerned about too much. We do recognize that we're never fully safe from what's going on in the world, but I think we have it pretty good. And it's good to see us, it's good to see you, and I pray that as we gather together, we gather to worship the Lord. I want to start by sharing with you Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4. And it says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands." That's a great word of encouragement for us this morning as we move into a time of chorusing. And the first chorus I'd like for us to sing this morning is, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Now we're going to stand together and we're going to sing. There are two choruses. We're going to sing together, and this is the first of the two. I'd like for us to sing. You may not be quite as familiar with this one as you were with the one we just sang, but it says, "I lift my voice in song unto thy name. I lift my hands, your every day the same. Come fill me now, Lord Jesus, let it be. Let now my lips sing newfound praise to thee, singing hallelujah, praise and worship to thy name.
I lift my
with the exception of Max. Max is going to come up and share an announcement that you're all going to want to hear.
Hi, it's summertime, and my back garden has berries in it. And we have probably 3 gallons of red currants to go and black currants. You got gooseberries and raspberries all ready for picking. And if you want to drop around to 14 Bowes Court, which is off Westgate Park, which is off Lake Street, the north end. And bring your own containers, and if you're disabled and you want some, put it in order, and I'll try to accommodate you. Thank you.
So you all got the right party at Max's house. Is that what? Yeah. Okay. So that's a great invitation. Thank you, Max. Well, we're going to sing a song. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms, he carries them all day long. Well, guess what? We're going to stand together again. And we'll sing the two verses, first two verses of this song, please. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. The final verse together, please. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is taken from Psalm, and it's put into song. And this is a song based on Psalm that says, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone will my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. The psalmist David, when writing this portion of scripture, was at a place in his life where he was being tested. His faith was on trial. His relationship with the Lord was in question. But he reminded himself, as he reminds us this morning, as not only readers of the word, but as we participate in song, that it's to be our desire, it's to be our longing to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a lot of relationships. We form a lot of relationships over the years, and no doubt there are relationships to be built as we move forward. But we need to be reminding ourselves that the true and only relationship that is of meaning, that puts others in perspective, is our relationship with Jesus Christ. A true relationship with Jesus Christ. And David here is reminding his readers, as he was questioning his own faith, that for him, God was to be his strength. That to him, God was to be his desire. And that when the difficulties of life come up and sometimes overwhelms us, the psalmist David was reminding us that God is our shield, that God is our fortress, he's our protector, and that in him and in him alone, he is our strength. And then I remind myself this morning with the prayer list that we have in our bulletin that there are many who need that strength from God, that in their own strength, it just doesn't measure up. But in God's strength, we pray for healing. We pray for restoration. We pray for physical healing and emotional healing. We pray for a spiritual discovery of having a relationship with God. Sometimes in our praying and in our asking, we want to be more specific, more direct. We want to hear from God immediately. We want things to occur immediately, but we have to realize it's in God's time, God's plan, God's purpose. And so for the needs that we have present here in our bulletin, we pray for healing, but we know that it's in God's time. We pray for restoration, but we know it's in God's time. God is working behind the scenes. And we have to believe in the omnipotent God, the all-knowing God, the all-seeing God, and in the all-hearing God. Over the course of these next few weeks, we have included good news reports. And Diane will say a little more about that later on. But if you look at the good news reports over this last week, we've had some good news with respect to Emily, Catherine and Kester's daughter. And you can see there that that there's a little bit of optimism with her treatment and with the cancer that's occurring within her body. And then for David Boone, we thank God that, as we know, over the last number of months, David's been dependent upon dialysis, but he was informed this week that he no longer needs dialysis. His kidneys have starting to bounce back. So that is a good news report, and we thank God for that. We praise him most high. So we know that God is working, God is moving, God is strengthening the lives of his people. And for that today, for Dave and for the Boone family, for others, they realize that God alone is their strength, that God alone is their shield. But we are people that pray. We will be a people that pray in faith. We will be a people who will pray believing that God hears and that God will answer prayer as he has been doing. So let's sing this song together in an attitude of prayer, bringing not only the requests of these individuals that we have, but perhaps there are others that we are not aware of. Perhaps there's something in your life that you're going through that you're not willing to share at this moment. Bring it to the Lord. Ask of God. Meditate and wait upon him. Let's sing together. Thank you. us pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we come, Lord, thankful, blessed, privileged. We come to you this morning, emptying of ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God, to know that in you today we have something the world doesn't have. We have in you this morning something the world cannot give. We have in you this morning a hope, a certainty, a faith to believe that when everything else is crumbling around us, we have the solid ground, which is Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for a faith this morning that enables us to believe, that enables us to live in confidence that one day we will stand before you in glory, redeemed, welcomed, received into your heavenly presence. But God, we realize this morning that here we are. Life is present. We live on the earth. There are days of joy. There are days of sorrow. There are days of reward. There are days of defeat. But God, we thank you that in the midst of life and in the midst of the storms of life we face, we have the anchor. Our anchor is Jesus. And God, I pray that for us this morning as your people, that God, that we will hold true to the fact that you're with us, you're present, you're amongst us. Help us to look to you. Help us to believe in you. Help us to receive you unto the knowledge of knowing that our God is present at all times. Father, we ask this morning that you will meet the needs of your people. We thank you for good news. We thank you that through Emily, through David, that God, that you are working miracles in their lives. And God, we know that the journey has and continues to be a long journey, an uncertain journey. But God, there are steps we see this morning in the right direction. And we thank you for that today. But we continue to pray your blessing upon them, pouring your blessing to give them physical strength and courage and the ability, Lord Jesus, to do the simple things that sometimes we take for granted. I think of Carol this morning, who, after many months of waiting, is having an MRI today to determine the next course of action for her. So, Father, we pray for Carol and we pray for Alton. And Lord, you know the needs that are there, the challenges that they're facing. I think of Kevin, Lord Jesus, from Family Services, who is still dealing with the loss of a limb and coping with that. And we just pray, God, that his recovery will be speedy and well. I think of Nolan. God, I was talking with Dez this past week, and we're so blessed and thankful for the things that's happening in that young boy's life and for the lack of reoccurrences of the seizures that he's been having. Jeff, talked with Jeff this morning. God, you know the needs of his heart for Amy, for Joan and Paul, for John, for Martin, for Alan Taylor. Lord, going through his own battle with cancer right now. Major Roxina, also with cancer, and Jeff Handeman, a young man, Lord Jesus, who was involved in an accident and just having to relearn, redo, and just accept the realities of what his body is going through in these days. We thank you for our church this morning and your church people, praying people, believing people. God, I pray that this morning as we gather together for worship, that God, that you will bless our worship and that we will indeed say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Bless us as a congregation. Bless those who are not with us this morning. Use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for the ministry of the band. Faithful even through the summer. And it's so good to have them participating in our service this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. If you want to follow along on the screen, you can, yes? I shouldn't assume. But Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 to 25. Hebrews 10, 15 to 25. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sins is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And may God bless the reading of his word this morning. God bless you, Diane, as you come to share the announcements for today.
And as we look to the announcements this week, and as Major has said about the good news reports, that's going to be number one every week. And we're hoping that you will have something extra special good news that you will contact the office and we can have it included. Even if it's late on Friday or Saturday, if you let Major know, he will let me know or he will announce good news happening, because prayers are answered. We are seeing it happen and it's exciting. This week, something else is happening. Our camping ministry is beginning, and it's up at Jackson's Point Camp, north of Toronto. And this week is the Junior Music Camp week. And if you've noticed, Tim's not in the band because Siyun has gone to Junior Music Camp this week. Min Sun will go later. So remember him this week as he's challenged in his music and his Bible and activities as well, that they will have a good week there. Then coming up, post the summer camps that happen, there are two coming up in September. A women's camp, an adventure camp, on September the 20th to 22nd, there are details, and there's a poster out in the foyer with a barcode that you can scan. But it's a weekend. Again, it's up at the Jackson, at the Newport Camp, north, just outside of Huntsville. So it's a good distance. And then the following weekend, it's the men's camp. So not to be outdone by the young people who get to go all summer, if you choose to go to the men's camp or the women's camp, those details can be obtained. Normal activities other than the walk aerobics are stopping for the summer, but walk aerobics still happens 3 days a week. And then our picnics. It was encouraging on Friday. We had 20 out. So come along. It's this week. It's down at Lock 3. It's a lovely setting. And there was a little message when we were setting up this plan that There's a delicious chip wagon. It's just at the big parking lot down the street, but you could stop and get your hamburger and French fries before you came to the picnic. So remember that. Otherwise, just bring along your own supper and sit around, and we have a couple of hours of fun and fellowship. So that's on Friday this week. And now we will take tithes and offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you this morning that as we've come and we're worshiping you in every sense, that our gifts to you are given because we want to see your kingdom grow through your Spirit-led people who are seeing things happening here. Help us to see our church grow again. We ask this in your name. Amen.
An invitation. Come, great Spirit, come, make each heart thy home. Just want to give you another update, or at least an update, with respect to the air conditioning. Now, you might be wondering what's going on with the air conditioning. We're coming here, and it's rather warm. I feel comfortable. I don't know about you guys, but I'm comfortable. I feel good. It's not too bad. I like the heat anyway, so I always say the warmer the better in my mind. But anyways, to give you an update there, we are hoping to have the unit. We have to get a new unit. So the current air conditioning, we have two units on the roof, one for this section of the building and one for the lower end of the building. So the unit on this end of the building is not working, can't be repaired. We've mended it many, many times over the years, and it's just gotten to the point where it can no longer be repaired. So the last word that I received this week is that they are hoping by the end of this month to have the unit in to be placed upon the roof. So I am not an electrician. I don't put things like that together. So my hope is we'll have air conditioning for the fall. All right, in that respect. But we should get it by the middle of August anyway. So we might get a couple of weeks with air conditioning in this part of the building. So we do apologize for the inconvenience. There's not a whole lot we can do about that. We lost the unit, and it's a process to get a new one in. And they're doing the best they can to accommodate our request. Let's stand together before we hear from the Word of God. I'd like for us to sing the song, and it's to the tune, Morning Has Broken. And it says, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Let's stand together as we sing. third verse says, "O, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save." Let's sing the final verse together, please. Pray together. God, our Father, we thank you again, Lord, for being with us here this morning. And Father, we thank you for the songs we've sung, for the meaning of the words that have been expressed through music. And God, I just pray now that as we look into your word, that you'll bless me, your servant, as I present your word, and the words I share with this congregation will indeed be the words you've placed in my heart. Just bless us. May we hear and may we do what you ask of us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you guys heard about the story about a married couple that were in bed one night on a stormy night? You ever hear that story? Okay, good. Good, that means I haven't told the story before. Or you just don't remember. Anyways. A story is told about a married couple asleep in bed on a stormy night, and they were awakened by a loud knock at the door. The man crawled out of bed and grumpily went downstairs. When he opened the front door, he found a man dripping wet and obviously very drunk, who said to him, "I can't get my car started." This story is not about you this morning. "I can't get my car started. Can you give me a push?" To which the man of the house replied sharply, "No. Go and sober up and we will sort it out in the morning." He slammed the door and he stormed back upstairs. Well, when he got back into bed and explained what had happened to his wife, she was indignant and said to him, "That wasn't a very kind Christian response. He could be in trouble. And you have sent him out into the storm for the rest of the night." Reluctantly, the man got out of bed a second time and put on his coat and went downstairs. He figured he wasn't getting to get any peace, so he decided to go out and help the man in the rain. When he got to the front door, the rain was teeming down and he couldn't see the other man. He could hear a faint voice out in the front yard, so he called out, "Hello, are you still there? What can I do to help?" To which the other man replied, "Could you give me a push? I'd be happy to do if I could see you. Where are you?" "I'm over here on the swing." Different twist, right? You didn't think I was going there. A twist to the story. Our responses and how we respond, and how the responses are received, often determines the direction or the purpose for which we do what we do. Leslie Flynn penned a book called Great Church Fights. In it, he chronicled the way people in different churches would go after each other, all in the name of Jesus Christ. And so a story from this book goes like this. A young father heard a commotion out in his backyard. He looked outside and saw his daughter and several playmates in a heated quarrel. When he intervened, his daughter called back, "Dad, we're just playing church." There is a great desire, at least I hope today, to be what most people would consider a New Testament church. Exciting, dynamic, life-changing. And as I gave thought to how I would share this topic in the sermon with you this morning, how do we relate as a church? How do we relate as a people, as a congregation within the church? How are we perceived as a congregation, not only internally, but externally? The desire of God's heart, as it would be the desire of my heart, and I hope the desire of your heart, is to be a church that's Spirit-filled, a church that's exciting, a church that's dynamic, and a church that is life-changing. So that when a person or persons come in contact with individuals who are representatives of Christ, they see Christ. They see Christ lived through us, but they see Christ lived through the church. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 15 to 25, I believe lays out for us, as many other parts of Scripture, lays out for us the intention of who we are to be in Christ, for Christ, in service to Christ within our community. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, "And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Not staying away from meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near." Encouraging one another. And I think for a moment, we need to stop here and just focus on that phrase. Encouraging one another. Building one another up. I heard about a couple celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. When the festivities were over, the woman turned to her husband and said, "We've been miserable for 50 years. We've fought every day. We've disagreed on nearly everything. And I'm convinced that we can't keep going like this." She said, "I have made a commitment to pray that God would help to solve this problem. I'm praying that he will take one of us home. And when he answers my prayer, I'm going to go and live with my sister in Grand Rapids." Genuine fellowship. I'm not comparing this church to that 50-year relationship between this couple. And I know many of you have had 50th anniversaries, and you've been happily married for 50 years plus. But the point of this story is that in this relationship, they weren't too happy. As a church congregation, I hope that our expression and I hope that our encouragement has been faith building. It's been building up and not tearing down. It's been encouraging and uplifting. And so Fellowship, the encouragement of one another, is an ingredient that we need within our church to be an effective church, an effective body for Christ. If we were to look to the book of John, 1 John actually, we see that the book of 1 John was written to try and fix the concerns John had for the lack of fellowship in the church. A loving fellowship that's established through the life of Christ. Now, I kind of know that in order for us to be an effective church, in order for us to be an encouraging church, in order for us to be a loving church, we must base all that we are, all of who we are, all the plans that we make on and in the person of Jesus Christ, the living example. And to sway from that relationship or intention would certainly lead to failure. Sam Walton, founder of Walmart, had a pledge he made to all his employees. From this day forward, he said, if a customer comes within 10 feet of me, regardless of what I'm doing in this place, I'm going to look at them in the eye and smile. I'm going to greet them with a good morning or a good afternoon, or what can I do for you to help you today? I think as a church, we need to make some type of Good Samaritan pledge. One of the realities in any family dynamic is that families don't always get along. Sometimes there are disagreements. Sometimes you're not seeing things the right way. But ultimately, I pray that in a healthy family, unlike the story I shared with you a few moments ago, that a healthy family will resolve the issues, will come to a compromise, and in the decisions being made, will show and encourage love and so on. I like to think that as a church, as a fellowship of the church, as believers within the church, as a faith-based church, that there will be times when we won't see eye to eye, where we won't agree on everything. Perhaps there have been times in the past, maybe you're sitting with someone right now that you may not have always agreed or seen eye to eye with. But you resolved the issues, you resolved the concerns. And as a church, as a body of believers, we all come from different places and we have different ideas. We have different, perhaps sometimes we might consider different goals. But ultimately, in the decision-making, in the doing, in the being, as the belonging of the church, we do it again all for the glory of God. Tom Gibson says, in 1994, he said, I was jogging and fell down the stairs of an underpass leading to a park. He said, I tripped at the top and fell head first down the stairs. He cracked his head on the side of the concrete step, and he was knocked unconscious, and he fell to the bottom. He said, when I regained consciousness, there were three types of people who came to me. First, those who saw all the blood and ran away. A newspaper reporter came to see if anyone had pushed him down the steps to see if there was a story to be told. And thirdly, a man who genuinely had compassion helped to bandage me up and call the ambulance. Now, of course, this story is very similar to the story of the Good Samaritan that we have recorded for us in Scriptures. I like to think that in the same way as believers within the church, as Christians living and serving the Lord, that there are times when there will be those who may slip and fall. But where do we find ourselves as a church? Where do we find ourselves as an individual? Are we an individual who would look upon the individual and in essence run away? Are we the individual who would just stop for a moment and see if there's a story to tell? Or are we, as a Christian church and a body of believers in Christ this morning, Christians who would stop, who would pray, who would help, who would encourage, who would lift up an individual who has fallen, who may have slipped with the tongue, who may have, in slipping with the tongue, said in a very unkind word or deed or thought or action? We could stand in judgment, or we could stand in forgiveness and acceptance and help the individual. Also, we see coming through the book of Hebrews, through that of fellowship, we also see the word love and good works. Love, good works. I want you to think about this for a moment. Do you love everybody? We can dislike the acts. We can dislike the deeds. We can have an opinion. But do you love the unlovable? A very simple verse in Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." God's love was and is unconditional. He loved despite the actions of the people he loved. He loved despite the fact that it was the people he loved who nailed his Son to the cross. He loved. And then we have the good works. Doing. Doing for Jesus. Clara Null, a young mother from Oklahoma, writes, and she says, "It was one of the worst days of my life. The washing machine broke down. The telephone wouldn't stop ringing. My head ached. The mailman brought a bill I had no money to pay. Almost at the breaking point, I lifted my one-year-old into the high chair, leaned my head against a tray, and began to cry. Without a word, my son took out his pacifier out of his mouth and stuck it into mine." We have had days similar to that, where the lesson from that little boy was, "Mom, I care. I want to help." Do we care? Do we want to help those who need to know Jesus Christ as Savior? From the time we're born, we know people need love. We know that there are people who need to be cared for. And I think that as a church, we, as the church, the body of Christ, ought to be a place, and we ought to be a people, where the deepest love and the deepest care for each person is real. Every ache and every pain, every wrinkle, every sickness, every passing of another is meant to be a reminder for us that the day is drawing closer, when, yes, Christ returns. And will we be faithful stewards in what God has required of us to do and to be? There's a story about a contrast of heaven and hell. And it tells of a man who had a dream that he was allowed to see both places. He was first taken to hell. He was taken to a large room in the middle of which there was a large pot of stew. The stew smelled delicious. But all around this point, there were people who were starving and in desperation. They all held spoons in their hands that had unusually long handles that reached all the way to the pot. But because the spoon handles were longer than their arms, they were unable to return the spoons filled with the stew to their mouths. Then the man was taken to heaven. Heaven was identical to hell. The rooms were identical. The pot of stew in the middle of the room was the same. The spoons were the same. But the people in the room were all well-fed and joyful. The man was perplexed when he first walked into the room. But as he watched the people in the room, he learned the difference. The people had spoons that would not allow them to feed themselves, so they fed each other. Fellowship, Christian fellowship, a spirit-filled church is feeding each other as we allow God to feed us. We are to be vessels used of God. This church, as beautiful as this church is to be a place where people feel accepted, where people feel welcomed, where people feel loved, where people feel unjudged but accepted. And I pray that for us this morning as a church, as a spirit-filled church, that we are a church that has love, that we are a church that's welcoming, receiving, and accepting. May be evident in us internally so that externally the world would see Christ real, vibrant, and alive. Not only in the lives of his people, but in the lives of the St. Catherine's Salvation Army here in St. Catherine's. You know, the song says, God loves you and I love you, and that's the way it should be. And I think that's the way it should be. That we should love one another as Christ first loved us. May God bless his word this morning. I'd like for us to sing a couple of choruses together. The first chorus, I'd like for us to sing, All there is of me, Lord, all there is of me, time and talents day by day, all I bring to thee. All there is of me, Lord, on thine altar here I lay, all there is of me. May we make that prayer this morning. Lord, all there is of me. It's wonderful to know that we can come to a place where we can just bring our all to Jesus. We can come to a place where we feel comfortable enough that we can come and kneel at this place of prayer, the altar, the mercy seat, the penitent form, however you would like to refer this place this morning. God is present in this place. He's amongst his people this morning. And how wonderful it is to know that we can come to a God. All that I am, all I can be, all that I have, all that is me, accept and use, Lord, as you would choose, Lord, right now, today. Let's sing this, just the chorus. All through all that's been said here this morning, through everything that we've sung, prayed, heard from God's word, we conclude with this song. My soul is now united to Christ, the living vine. I'll ask the band to come and take their place. His grace I long have slighted, but now I feel him mine. I was to God a stranger, till Jesus took me in. He freed my soul from danger and pardoned all my sin. I'm going to invite the congregation to stand. Just a reminder that following the service, we're welcome to go to the gymnasium, a little cooler down there, and we got some refreshments and just fellowship a little bit before we move on with our day. And if you're interested in Max's appeal to come to his place, then let him know. And he'll be sure to let you into his backyard to help yourself with some of those berries that he talked about. So let's stand first two verses together. verse says, by floods and flames surrounded, I still my way pursue, nor shall I be confounded with glory in my view. Still Christ is my salvation. What can I covet more? I fear no condemnation. My Father's wrath is over. We're going to have a prayer. We'll use this third verse as our benediction. God, our Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for protecting us over this past week. We thank you, Lord, for the good news of this week. God, we pray for even better news in the week to come. God, just bless us, your people. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.